The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. O Lord, how, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, how, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek thee, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The King of glory is his name. The King of glory, his title of fame. The King of glory, he ransomed me. The King of glory, his face I'll see. The King of glory, the sinner's friend. The King of glory is coming again. Coming again, coming again. The King of glory is coming again. I feel better about the whole thing. What a marvelous musical program we've had. Don't you love the Johnsons? I'm telling you, they are doing a great work for God. We hear about it everywhere we go, and I praise God for it. But there's no place like Worth Baptist Church. WBC, this is the place to be. Don't you forget that, son. By the way, we doctored Johnson a little while ago, several years. He doesn't know it, but we put a doctor on him. Everybody else around here is a doctor. He might as well be. But it's a good thing to be in God's house tonight, isn't it? Amen. Wonderful thing to serve the Lord. You can imagine that my heart is filled with memories, fond memories of the wonderful things that God has done in 67 years. I don't know how God crammed it all in 67 years, to be honest with you. Just look around, see what God has done. Walk around Zion, tell of her towers. He's done a great thing. One of the greatest emphases of our church has been, and one of the fondest memories I have, and I won't spend long on all of this, because I have a message to preach. But I think about back in the early 90s, I think it was 91, when on an anniversary day we had an offering goal of $100,000 to purchase and print, right, to publish actually, 100,000 Bibles in the Russian language. And that was done, and they were paid for. And my wife and I and several members of the church flew over to Moscow to deliver these. What a wonderful thing. Can you imagine the joy of standing in Red Square? Now, this was before the Communist Party fell. Can you imagine the joy of standing in Red Square in the front of Lenin's tomb and giving Bibles to the soldiers that just came off of duty in guarding that tomb? And the passers-by, hundreds of them. And then we were privileged to go into colleges and schools, and they shut everything down. Can you imagine that happening in America? The land of the free, the home of the brave, the Christian nation that we claim to be. But they shut them all down and let us preach. Several of us preachers went. They let us all preach. I'll never forget in the college especially, the college professors. We couldn't get the Bibles out of the boxes fast enough for them to take them. They just gobbled them up. What a wonderful experience that was. And I suppose to cap it all was on a Sunday. It was October in Moscow. It's cold in October in Moscow. It's wet in October in Moscow. And they had no buildings. This was the underground church. Now, they weren't down literally under the ground. They stood on top of the ground, folks. But it's the underground church. And several hundred people gathered down by a river in a cold, chilly rain. A group of women sang like angels from on high. Three of us preachers preached the word of God that morning. Those people stood there for 3 hours for this service in rain. Some of us won't sit in comfortable pews. Hello. You know I'm telling you the truth. We're sissies, most of us. But when the invitation, I was the last preacher to preach. I turned it over to the native pastor there, the Russian pastor, who incidentally spent 2 prison terms for preaching the gospel. He reached into his side pocket and took out an oilcloth. I don't even know what an oilcloth is. Some of you as old as I am, you look it anyway. I can't believe no more people know. You know what an oilcloth is, don't you? No, you don't. No, you too. Yeah. Johnson, do you know? No, you don't know either. Well, anyway, an oilcloth is what your mother used to put on the table. It went over around the sides. You remember now, don't you? Your grandmother. But anyway, he took that thing out of his pocket. He folded it up. It was about as large as that square right there. He put it down on a wet, cold ground with a microphone. He knelt on it and with a microphone with him in his hand, and 52 adults one by one knelt on that oilcloth and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior and made their public confession where everybody could hear it. Even the KJB that was driving by could hear it. Everybody could hear it. Thank God, God heard it. That's the main thing. They've sung about God. Brother Weaver preached about God. We have a Bible that tells us about God. What can we do, friends, more than what we have? On Thursday last, our PA, that's physician's assistants for those of you from Georgia, and she comes every month to check us out. And by the way, my brother Doug pastored in Duncanville a number of years ago. And he married her parents long before she was born. The PA, she's a great gal. But anyway, my wife engaged her in conversation about the anniversary day in 67 years, and she gasped and swallowed several times. And then I said to her, the church is 67 years old, and of those 67 years, I have been an official part for 62 of those years. She really did gasp then. And then she asked this question. Was anybody there before you? And I said, yes, God was there. And by the way, he's still here. I felt his presence today in the person of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he's not in this desk. He's not in this microphone. He's not in that piano. He's not in these pews and chairs. He's in you. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in to take up abode in your life. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's what Paul asks us. And then he tells us to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are God's. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. I'm glad that when I was a lad, 11 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I've never been sorry. I haven't been perfect. I know that surprises some of you. I've made a lot of mistakes. By the way, the man who says he hasn't made any mistakes is a mistake. I made a lot of mistakes, and you have too. But isn't God good? Isn't he gracious, wonderful, loving and kind and compassionate and long-suffering, patient with us? Well, now think about the 67 years and the ministry that God's given us all and the years that I've been saved. I must be an old man. But I'm going to a place where we'll never grow old. We'll never say goodbye. And the soul of man will never die. Well, I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about. In the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, as you're finding your place there, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass. And all the glory of man is flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever. Oh, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm happy to report to you that it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book that we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. I'm going to read Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, after we pray. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, we are grateful for this hour, for the time that you've given us to come to the point when we celebrate another year, and now 67 of them, where the gospel has been proclaimed and music that honors Jesus Christ has been sung. Souls have knelt around altars and been saved. And many wonderful things have happened that we cannot recall tonight. The memories we have as we've served you in these many years. Now I want to thank you for this very hour, for what's already gone on today. May the Holy Spirit work a miracle of grace in our lives in this hour. In his name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. And now to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So may it be. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, so may it be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, today, March 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2021, we celebrate. We celebrate not just 67 years that Worth Baptist Church has existed as a body of baptized believers in the city of Fort Worth. By the way, Fort Worth has been a better place to live because of Worth Baptist Church. Can you imagine what this city would be like if churches like ours were moved out of it? One of these days they will be moved out of it when Jesus comes. And I want to admonish you to keep looking up because Jesus is coming soon. Our celebration goes far beyond that which can be measured by time and space. Our celebration takes us into the realm of eternity past. John said in his first chapter, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And the word, here it is, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was he who said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say I'll build your church or you'll build my church. He said, I will build my church. And by the way, for 67 years, we have stood the shock because we're built on the rock. And that rock is Jesus. Let it be known to all persons present and to all men everywhere, we celebrate Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, as described in verse 8 of my text. Please don't turn deaf ear to this. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what he said. I read it a while ago. Let me read it again. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. First letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. If he was speaking in English, he'd say, I'm A and Z. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. We celebrate him who is named and described in verses 5 and 6 of my text. And from Jesus Christ, push the pause button right there for a second. When you say Jesus Christ, you've said it all. He's our fountainhead. He's our foundation. He's our coming Lord. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for a while. No. Forever and forever. So may it be. We further celebrate him as he is introduced to us in verse 1 of my text, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a loving Lord and Savior we serve, ladies and gentlemen. He alone conquered death. He alone can say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. He alone can say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He alone could say, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the rock of ages, the bread of life, the light of the world, the true shepherd, the redeemer of mankind, the Lord of heaven and earth. He's the Savior of the world. Amen. By the way, is he your Savior? Have you trusted him as your personal Savior? The angel said to those frightened shepherds in Bethlehem on that first Christmas night, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a Savior is Jesus the Lord. What a Savior, true to his word. What a Savior is Jesus my King. What a Savior whose praises we sing. That's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. I wish I felt a little bit better. I'd preach a little bit longer. You see, I said a while ago, we're sissies. We'll sit at a ball game and scream our lungs out for 3 hours. If a preacher preaches more than 29 minutes, you tune him out. Some of you did it at 21 minutes. My message is entitled, 67 Years Under God. Observe with me in the first place that for 67 years, Worth Baptist Church has had but one manuscript. Ladies and gentlemen, I hold in my hands the one book that has served the needs of our congregation for almost 7 decades. By the way, it's not dessert for the weekend. It's bread, daily bread for daily consumption. It's not in the experimental stage. It's been tried and proven. It's not the book of the week or the book of the month or the book of the year or the book of the decade or the book of the century or the book of the millennium. It's the book of the ages. It has answered our questions about life and death. How many people have asked me during the years that I've served, why did the Lord take my husband? Why did the Lord take my wife? Why did the Lord come in and steal out our little one from the cradle? I can't answer that question. But this book can. Because this book tells us all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I can't tell you why God did that or this or the other, but I can tell you he knows why he did it. He has a plan, a pattern, a purpose, a program, and a prescription for your life. And nothing's going to stop it. Nothing's going to thwart it. Nothing's going to overturn it. Just look to him. Trust him. And leave the results up to him. He knows what he's doing. It has guided our feet along the pathway of our journey. We believe what the psalmist wrote in 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It has given us light and illumination in the darkest hours of our lives. By the way, can I tell you, the darkest hour of your life is just 60 minutes long. Think that one over. The darkest hour of your life. Jesus brings us light, illumination. Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It has calmed our souls in the midst of our troubles, trials, fears, frustrations, anxieties, and worry. It has comforted our hearts in times of sorrow and grief, heartache and pain. It has lifted our spirits in the days of depression and despondency and despair, discouragement, disillusionment, disappointment. We teach it and we preach it as God's book of impeccable truth. Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we are silent. Among all books ever written, it has no equal. Its contents are true. Its principles are proven. Its trustworthiness is impeachable. It outlives, outloves, outgives, outlifts, outreaches, and outruns all other books. It has always been the number one seller of all time. It's already ahead of the next bestseller off the press. What a wonderful book. The Library of Congress is the largest library in the world. It has 650 miles of shelves. Upon those shelves, there are 39 million books. It would go up to 179 if you counted the papers and the records and tapes and whatever else you have, but 39 million books. Can I tell you, not one of them compares to God's book in composition, in character, or content? No, no, no. Our dear people have esteemed the Bible in life. They know what Job said about it. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It has embraced us, and we have embraced it in death. I could not tell you how many people that I've stood by holding their trembling hand when they went home to be with the Lord, calling for the Bible. You see, when men come down to die, they don't call for Shakespeare. They don't call for the philosophers, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, they call for God's book because they want to know what God has to say. And I'm glad we have that book. Let it be known to everybody listening, wherever you are, we have only one manuscript at Worth Baptist Church, and it is the King James Bible. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God for mothers who read the Bible and pray. I stand before you tonight in answer to a mother's prayer, dying prayer, 29 years old. I was just two. But I'm going to see her one day. I'm going to love her one day. And that brings me to thought number two. I declare unto you that for 67 years, Worth Baptist Church has had but one mission, one manuscript, one mission. Since its meager beginning, under the leadership of my brother Bob, a little storefront building down on Wichita Street, they had no money, they had no furniture, they had no promise from the city, they had no promise from a religious organization. They had faith in God. Look around now. Has it paid off? Where's a finer facility than this? God's been good. The carrying out, here it is, the one great endeavor we've had is the carrying out of the commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This splendid endeavor that we've had for 67 years has been twofold. One, the evangelization of sinners. Dr. Weaver talked about that greatly in his message this morning. Passion for the lost. That's what it's been. Number two, the edification of saints. Evangelization of sinners. Edification of saints. In our program of evangelizing the lost, we support missionaries worldwide. Several of them are in the congregation tonight. All the way from Mexico to Moscow. From Brazil to Bangladesh. From Central America to South Africa. We've sent the gospel around the world. We've invested multiplied millions of dollars in missions in far-flung corners of the earth. In our program of edifying the saints, we have maintained a well-balanced, systematic plan of Bible study in our graded Sunday school. Every class, every department, the Bible, that's our textbook, that's our manuscript. We have stayed with our mission, ladies and gentlemen, and we will do so till death releases us from our responsibilities, or until Jesus comes to transport us to our home beyond the skies. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes. Should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, I'll smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest. Now watch this. And not one wave of trouble shall roll across my peaceful breast. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. My daddy used to say, heaven will be a wonderful place. Up there there'll be no taxes and the rent will never come due. I want to show you in the third place the I boldly assert that for 67 years, Worth Baptist Church has had one message, one manuscript, one mission, one message. None of these four preachers, Bob, yours truly, Dr. Weaver, Pastor Gillett, none of us have preached a social gospel. We have not preached reformation, we've preached regeneration through the new birth. Enter Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's not baptism, by the way, that's the placenta in the mother, the water sac, the physical birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. We have not preached socialization, we preached salvation. We joined Peter's club a long time ago in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have not preached repeal. We've preached repentance. We believe what Jesus... I'm going to quote Jesus. They don't mind, do you? I love to quote Jesus. Greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote him, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. John the Baptist came through the wilderness of Judea preaching and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Apostle Paul in that magnificent message on Mars Hill said, the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Our message has been the unsearchable riches of God's measureless, matchless, marvelous grace. So said Paul in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 1:7, Paul said, in whom we have redemption through, watch this, through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, don't miss this, according to the riches of his grace. Grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. John Newton, that reprobate, slave trader, drunkard, he got by everything in the world, but he couldn't get past his mother's prayers. So in answer to his mother's prayer, the old reprobate fell on his face and trusted Christ and wrote, among other songs, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. We have not majored on social issues. We've not allowed Satan to sidetrack us. We've not used the pulpit as a political podium or a philosophical chair. We have preached the message of the gospel. Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Wonderful thing to talk about the death the burial and the resurrection. Isn't it Gospel 101? We've declared the whole counsel of God, having kept back nothing. Did you hear me? Having kept back nothing. We joined Paul's club and he said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, on our 67th anniversary, I'm happy to report to you that we preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. Look at verse 7 in my text. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Our manuscript, our mission, our message are unchanged because we serve an unchangeable and unchanging God. Now I'm going to make a prediction. You don't mind if I predict something, do you, Pastor? I'm going to make a prediction. We've had some glorious days in 67 years. I'm telling you, I've seen revivals. I've seen people weeping. We had to just stop the invitation. It's just unbelievable. Some of you may remember that. But we've seen some wonderful things happen. But I'm going to make a prediction. Are you ready? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Our manuscript says all men are sinners, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our mission compels us to offer God's love through his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, I like that, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our message is to tell you, listen, you, that the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, can cleanse you from all your sin. All your sin. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Most of you are old enough to remember the name George Washington Carver. In the school books, you probably read about him. He was born the son of a slave, brought up in slavery. Some men saw some potential in him. By the way, older men, look around some of these young men and find some potential in them. It's there. It just needs to be uncovered. It's there. God put it there. Don't miss it, men. Find someone. Well, he eventually graduated from Iowa University with a degree in agriculture. He later accepted a position at Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama. Stayed there the rest of his life. He traveled up and down the South and saw there was only one crop that was being planted. Cotton. Cotton was everywhere. In your mouth, in your ears, in your bed, in your cupboard, everywhere. Cotton, cotton, cotton. So he said to the farmers, now, gentlemen, if the cotton crop fails, everything is gone. I suggest you start planting the peanut. Peanut. So they started planting peanuts. And they had peanuts out of their ears and out of their mouth. In the bed, in the cupboard, in the refrigerator, in the oven. Everywhere, everywhere. Peanuts, peanuts, peanuts. Well, did you know from the peanut that George Washington Carver discovered 300 byproducts Did you eat any mayonnaise today? Did you drink any instant coffee? Have anything to do with oils? Have anything to do with colorings, medicine, hundreds of products? Once upon a time, he was invited to testify before the Committee on Agriculture in the United States Senate. So they brought him before the Senate, and the chairman said to him, "Dr. Carver, how did you learn all these things?" He said, "Why, from an old book." The senator said, "What book?" Dr. Carver said, "The Bible." Well, when the senator regained his composure, he almost fainted, he said, "Dr. Carver, does the Bible tell us about peanuts?" To which he answered, No, Mr. Senator. But it tells us about the God who made the peanut. And I asked him to show me what I should do with the peanut. And he did. And he did. Now I have a personal question for every person in this room, young and old. Listen carefully. Has there been a time in your life? Now this is eternity sincerity now. No joking. Has there ever been a time in your life when you said, "Dear God, tell me what to do with what you've given me"? Maybe it's a cashew nut, or a hickory nut, or a walnut, or just a nut. Maybe it's some financial resources. Maybe it's some extra time that God's allotted you. Maybe it's some special talent. Oh, you say, "But I'm just too old." Well, Moses was, how old was he, Pastor, when he started? 80? He was 80. Thank you, Pastor. I knew it. I wanted to see if you did. And he led Israel out 40 years after 80 years old. When he, don't tell me that you're too old. I'm almost 89. I'm still going. And I plan to be going at 100. Then I'm going back into the pastorate. No. Don't tell me you're too young. Listen, you are never too old for God to use. You are never too young for God to use. David was a shepherd boy with just five little stones. Have you asked God, "Dear God, tell me, please, tell me what to do with what you have given me"? It's right there in your hand. Have you asked him? Let's stand for our prayer. Every head's bowed. This is a very serious moment. Very serious moment. Please, every head bowed. Let's just be as honest as you know how to be. I wonder how many of you would say tonight, this 67th anniversary, that's a long time. How many of you tonight would just say, "I would like for God to show me what he wants me to do with what he has given me"? Please get that last part, "what he has given me." There's not a person in this room that God has not given something to, some kind of gift. It may be just the gift of licking stamps. Do they still lick stamps? It may just be a ministry of folding letters, or sweeping the floor, or carrying out the trash. You get on the telephone for almost everything else. You get on the text machine for almost, and the email and the F-mail, most of you on F-mail. I don't know what that is, but have you asked God for the use, how to use that gift that he's given you, whatever it might be. Let's wait a moment on God. Don't be in too big a hurry. I know it's late. Listen, there'll never be another March 7th, 2021. We'll never be assembled as we are tonight. I wonder how many of you, think it over now, how many of you would say, my lifted hand, I want God to tell me what he wants me to do with what he's given me.